Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you are joining us today, just know you are sitting right here in the room with us.
Yeah, grab a seat. You're our third co-host today.
Exactly. Today is Saturday, March 7th, 2026. And the week we have just experienced is, well, it's not your standard news cycle.
No, definitely not.
We are looking at a handful of days where technology undeniably moved the red lines.
We've seen structural shifts this week that are going to fundamentally rewrite how we interact with the physical world, how multinational businesses operate, and even how geopolitical conflicts are waged.
Yeah. So our mission for you today is to take a massive stack of incredibly dense reports. We're talking global infrastructure attacks, financial shifts that basically defy traditional gravity, consumer tech drop,
The reading.
a ton of reading. And we want to extract the core insights from all of it.
Yeah.
We want you to walk away from this deep dive completely well informed.
Right. So you can understand the second order effects without having to slog through a dozen disparate financial and technical briefs yourself.
Let us do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. I mean, the sheer volume of information out there right now is overwhelming. But when you look at these seemingly separate events side by side, a really clear picture emerges about where the future is heading.
Okay, let's unpack this because we need to start with a massive reality check. We're talking about the digital world colliding violently with the physical one. We have to look at what happened this past Sunday.
March 1st.
Sunday, March 1st, 4:30 p.m. Dubai time. Iranian military drones actively targeted Amazon Web Services data centers in the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
And the details of this strike, they highlight this fascinating and honestly grim physical reality. The drones struck the data centers and caused localized fires, but the fire itself wasn't the primary reason the servers went down.
No, which is the wildest part of this whole report.
Great. The safety protocols actually became the ultimate point of failure.
The intense heat from the drone strikes triggered the automatic sprinkler systems inside those massive server rooms.
Unbelievable.
So you have this incredibly advanced digital infrastructure holding the operational data of countless businesses, and it's just being completely flooded by its own physical fire suppression system.
It is the ultimate collision of the cloud and the physical ground. The fallout from these strikes was immediate. AWS UAE facility number one took a direct hit, experienced the fire, and then the flooding. It remains completely offline today.
Yeah, cool, shut down.
AWS UAE facility number two also took a direct hit. That resulted in severe structural damage, so it is also offline.
Right.
And then a third facility over in Bahrain is currently operating in a degraded state due to regional power outages and connectivity issues. The immediate real-world impact was that banks, payment processing systems, enterprise platforms, consumer startups across the UAE and Bahrain, they just simply ceased to function.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are witnessing a massive paradigm shift in global infrastructure. For over a decade, the business world has talked about the cloud as if it's this magical, invisible, safe
Right,
space.
just floating up there.
Exactly. But the reality is that the cloud is just someone else's computer sitting in a massive, power-hungry warehouse. And until this week, data centers were largely considered civilian infrastructure. They operated way outside the scope of traditional kinetic warfare.
Yeah.
But this event definitively proves that the cloud is vulnerable. It is now a legitimate military target.
And you can see that realization reflected in Amazon's own response. The official AWS statement from their incident report reads, quote, "The situation remains unpredictable. We recommend customers migrate their workloads to other regions."
That is huge.
It's staggering. For a tech giant that uses 99.99% uptime as literally the foundational marketing tool for its enterprise business to advise customers to physically move their data because the situation is unpredictable, that is a watershed moment.
For you listening right now, and for the broader business community, this takeaway fundamentally alters the landscape of how companies operate. We are officially seeing the end of the cloud-first era.
The days of just dumping all your data into a single regional data center and assuming it was safe.
Those days are over. We are entering the cloud-resilient era. Businesses are now being forced to adopt multi-region, multi-cloud strategies. They have to spend vast amounts of capital migrating redundant workloads to North America or Europe just to ensure that a drone strike in one hemisphere doesn't wipe out their entire operation in another.
Which introduces a really brutal new reality for smaller companies.
Oh, absolutely.
Massive corporations can afford to build out that multi-region redundancy, but a startup running lean on a tight budget, they might only be able to afford a single server cluster. So this new era of digital warfare inherently punishes the smaller players who just can't afford a global backup plan.
And that financial barrier to entry is a perfect transition, actually.
Yeah.
Because while the physical vulnerability of the cloud has never been more apparent, the sheer volume of capital required to build what actually runs on that cloud is reaching unprecedented levels.
It is mind-boggling. We are talking about the February 27th OpenAI funding round. OpenAI essentially rewrote the rules of venture capital this week by closing a funding round of $110 billion.
With a B. I mean, the scale of that number requires a bit of context to fully grasp.
Let's break down the valuation. The reports note their pre-money valuation was $730 billion. And for anyone unfamiliar, pre-money simply means what the company was worth before the new investors even wrote their checks.
Right.
After this massive cash injection, their post-money valuation sits at $840 billion. This represents the single largest private funding round in human history.
And the roster of investors writing those checks tells us exactly where the industry is heading. These are not just passive financial bets. They are highly strategic partnerships.
Yeah, let's look at the players. Amazon led the round with $50 billion.
Half the round.
Exactly. And the critical detail there is the stipulation attached to the money. In return for that capital, AWS secures its position as OpenAI's exclusive third-party cloud provider. Then NVIDIA invested $30 billion.
Which is fascinating because that is a cyclical investment. NVIDIA manufactures the GPUs that OpenAI desperately relies on to build their models.
They're just feeding the ecosystem. And then SoftBank, the Japanese investment fund that's known for massive bets on future technology, they filled out the round with another $30 billion.
It is vital to understand why an artificial intelligence company needs $110 billion just to operate.
Right. What are they buying?
Compute. Training foundational models requires capital on a scale previously reserved for nation states. Industry reports estimate that training the GPT-5 model cost over $1 billion in raw compute power.
Just to train it.
Just for the training phase. And to train the upcoming GPT-6 model, you're looking at several billion dollars.
And training is really only half the equation here. The reports emphasize the massive inference costs. Inference is the compute power required every single time a user anywhere in the world asks the AI a question or prompts it to generate an image.
Running the machine day in and day out is wildly expensive. And OpenAI is not operating in a vacuum here. They are locked in an aggressive race against Google's Gemini, Anthropic's Claude, and Meta's open source Llama models.
It's an arms race.
It really is. To maintain their dominant lead, they have to build larger infrastructure, secure priority access to more NVIDIA GPUs, and expand heavily into enterprise and government contracts. That kind of velocity demands endless capital.
Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, he summarized the stakes pretty perfectly in his statement following the raise. He said, quote, "This investment shows we're on the verge of the biggest transformation in technology history. AI is no longer an experiment, it's an industry."
And that is the core takeaway. The development of artificial intelligence has officially transcended the startup phase. It is a multi-trillion dollar industrial complex now.
Yeah.
The underlying message to the global market is stark. If countries and massive corporations do not invest at this staggering pace, they will find themselves entirely locked out of the future economy. You simply cannot sit on the sidelines when the cost of entry is $100 billion.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because we have just outlined the $100 billion investments and the massive vulnerable cloud infrastructure required to build these models. But the irony is that the next major battleground isn't in the cloud at all.
No, it's not.
It is the war over whether that AI should actually live locally, right in the device in your pocket. There is a massive philosophical war playing out in consumer tech this week between Apple and Samsung.
It fundamentally comes down to how these two companies view the future of personal computing and data privacy.
Let's examine Apple's strategy first. They just released the new M5 MacBook Air this March with a starting price of $1,199. They are doubling down on their strict on-device philosophy.
Right.
The new M5 chip features a 40-core neural engine. To put that in perspective, the previous M4 had a 16-core engine, meaning local AI operations are now running 2.5 times faster directly on the laptop itself.
The reports highlight that it is built on a second-generation 3-nanometer process. For the end user, a 3-nanometer process means Apple has managed to pack an absurd amount of processing power into a microscopic space.
Which is crazy to think about.
It really is. It allows the machine to perform complex AI tasks locally without instantly draining the battery or completely overheating your lap, they're claiming up to 20 hours of battery life.
They also paired it with LPDDR5X RAM, which is essentially a data highway that shuttles information 50% faster than the previous generation. Apple CEO Tim Cook was very explicit about their hardware strategy. He stated, quote, M5 shows that AI doesn't need the cloud. The best AI is the one that runs on your device with complete privacy.
Which presents a stark contrast to Samsung's approach. Samsung is pushing a completely different vision for the consumer.
Yeah, Samsung rolled out their Galaxy S26 series in early March, explicitly branding it as an AI-first smartphone. The pricing ranges from $899 for the base model up to $1,399 for the Ultra.
Samsung is taking a hybrid approach.
Very different.
Yes. They packed the S26 Ultra with serious hardware, the new Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5 processor, a massive 200-megapixel camera, a 144-hertz refresh rate screen. But the core features rely heavily on a seamless mix of local processing and cloud connectivity.
Because the utility they're offering requires that cloud connection. You're looking at features like Live Translate 2.0, which supports over 100 languages in real time for phone calls and video chats. Or smart suggestions that predict your daily habits based on massive data sets.
They also introduced Photo Remaster AI that fixes blur and colorizes old photos, and Circle to Search 3.0. TM Rowe, the president of Samsung Mobile, laid out their countervision. He said, quote, Galaxy S26 shows that the future of mobile is about AI, not just hardware. We're building a personal assistant that knows you.
So you have this fascinating philosophical divide presented to you, the consumer. Apple is selling strict on-device privacy. Your data never leaves your laptop. It is inherently faster for certain tasks because it doesn't need to ping a server across the country. And it shields you from the exact cloud vulnerabilities we discussed earlier with the AWS attack.
Meanwhile, Samsung is prioritizing hybrid utility. They are betting that users are willing to leverage the cloud to gain access to a wildly powerful personal assistant that translates the world in real time and anticipates their needs.
It is a classic battle between absolute privacy and absolute convenience.
Moving from how our devices process information, we have to look at how these systems are now altering the information itself. We are seeing AI transition from a processing tool into an arbiter of reality.
Which brings us to the major social media news that dropped today, March 7th. Elon Musk introduced the Grok AI fact-check button on the X platform. This represents a major structural change to how information is consumed and verified online.
The mechanics outlined in the release are pretty straightforward. There is now a Grok logo integrated right into the upper left corner of every post on the platform.
Right. When a user taps that logo, the Grok AI analyzes the text, the attached media, the captions, the engagement patterns, and the broader context of the post. It then generates a public declaration, labeling the claim as either accurate, misleading, or completely false.
Musk announced the feature by tweeting, quote, fact check and ask questions about any post just by tapping the Grok logo in the upper left, meaning every single piece of content, including his own, is subject to this algorithmic scrutiny.
Now, before we dive deeper into the fallout of this, we need to be very clear to you, our listener. We are not taking a political side here. We are not endorsing a left-wing or a right-wing viewpoint on this tool.
Exactly. We are strictly reporting the debate as it is presented in the source material we are analyzing today.
Period. And the debate outlined in the sources is intense. Mm. Supporters of the feature are hailing it as a necessary real-time truth engine.
Yeah.
They argue that crowdsourced fact-checking is just too slow to combat viral falsehoods, and an instant AI analysis gives users a powerful tool to verify information in seconds.
Critics, however, are pointing to the underlying technology's track record. They are calling the feature a misinformation magnet.
A strong term.
Yes. The source material notes that Grok has a documented history of generating serious errors, hallucinations regarding political events, public health guidelines, and scientific data.
The fear outlined by those critics is that users will place blind trust in the AI's accurate or false label, effectively outsourcing their critical thinking to an algorithm that is still prone to hallucination.
It is a massive experiment in human trust, playing out in real time with millions of active users.
AI isn't just trying to define what is true on our social feeds either. It is actively reshaping what we see on our screens in the entertainment industry.
That leads us to the March 5th announcement from Netflix. Netflix made a rare and highly strategic acquisition of an AI startup called Interpositive.
And the origin of this startup is what makes the acquisition so notable. It was secretly founded back in 2022 by actor and director Ben Affleck.
Right. And Interpositive is not focused on the controversial practice of replacing human actors with digital avatars, they are tackling the grueling economics of filmmaking.
Specifically, the post-production process. Industry analysts consistently note that visual effects, color grading, and editing can consume up to 50% of a film's total budget. Half the budget.
It's huge. And Interpositive's AI tools are designed to automate and solve those massive technical headaches. The reports detail that if a crucial shot is missing from a day of filming, the AI can convincingly reconstruct the required footage.
If there is a boom mic or an unwanted modern vehicle in the background of a period piece, the AI seamlessly removes it. If the lighting in a scene is inconsistent, the AI corrects it instantly, eliminating the need for a million-dollar reshoot.
Affleck released a statement regarding the acquisition saying, quote, "We founded Interpositive to develop AI tools that protect the power of human creativity and the people behind it."
What's fascinating here is, while the tension between that stated goal of protecting creativity and the historical precedent of corporate technology adoption.
Exactly. Netflix is acquiring this technology to drastically reduce post-production costs and save millions per project.
Right. While the tool is framed as an aid for filmmakers, the history of automation tells a very consistent story. Whenever technology emerges that can execute a highly skilled job cheaper and faster, corporations utilize it to maximize margins, not just to assist the current workforce.
This raises a profound concern for the traditional industry. If an algorithm can automate lighting correction, background replacements, and footage reconstruction, the working class jobs in Hollywood, the editors, the visual effects artists, the colorists they are facing, unprecedented disruption.
But there is a secondary effect to consider beyond the immediate job losses at the major studios.
Right, the flip side.
If these tools drastically lower the cost of post-production, it fundamentally lowers the barrier to entry for independent filmmakers.
A young director with a minimal budget might suddenly have access to the post-production capabilities of a massive Hollywood studio.
And they could be running it entirely locally on something like that Apple M5 chip we discussed earlier.
It is the classic disruption dilemma. Massive job displacement at the top, coupled with incredible democratization of tools at the bottom.
So what does this all mean? We have covered a vast amount of ground today, pulling insights from wildly different sectors.
When you synthesize these reports, the overwhelming theme is that the boundaries we relied on are dissolving. The physical infrastructure of our digital lives is now an active component of geopolitical warfare.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence has rapidly matured from a novelty into a multi-trillion dollar industrial complex that dictates global capital flows. The fundamental economics of how our entertainment is produced are shifting, and algorithms are now stepping in to actively arbitrate human truth on a global scale.
None of this is abstract. These shifts dictate whether the digital infrastructure you rely on for banking will function tomorrow. They dictate the trade-offs you have to make regarding privacy and convenience when purchasing your next laptop. They alter who gets paid to create the media you consume, and they fundamentally change how you verify what is true and what is false when you scroll through your timeline.
It forces us to confront a deeper philosophical shift. If AI is now optimizing our infrastructure, curating our media, correcting our art, and fact-checking our daily reality in real time, what happens to human intuition?
Wow.
Are we heading toward a near future where a natural gut feeling or a human assessment is considered a liability simply because an algorithm hasn't verified it first? If we rely on a machine to translate the world before we experience it, we may quietly lose our baseline for what is fundamentally real.
That is a profound question to leave off on, and it definitely gives us all a completely new angle to explore on our own. Thank you so much for sitting down with us for this deep dive today. We hope we helped cut through the noise and brought you the insights that matter. Keep questioning, stay curious, and we will catch you next time.